In the gallery this morning. Welcome to our very first official general meeting, Business of Council. I'd like to declare the meeting open at 9:31 and start by acknowledging the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet this morning. I'd also like to pay respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who may be present here this morning. For those members in the public gallery who haven't been here before, if I could just give you a bit of an outline of our Standing Orders Section 32 in regards to public conduct at our general meetings. All members of the public present at a meeting must, not without the prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs. They must remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way. They must not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present. Be suitably dressed and please turn all mobile devices to silent mode and, if necessary, leave the meeting to take any calls. Just a reminder that as chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with these standing orders that I may, without such warning, require the person to leave the meeting and not return for such a period as a chairperson decides. And this period may include future meetings. Councillors, we have no leave of absence this morning, so we'll go straight to our devotional segment, and it's a great pleasure for me to ask a member of the Redlands Ministers Fellowship, Jim DeWitt, who's Redlands Christian Reformed Church Ormiston pastor, to guide us in a devotional segment.
Good morning, and just thank you. Thank you, Mayor Williams and councillors, for the invitation to come and speak this morning and to be a part of opening this council meeting. So thank you for that. I'm standing in for Reverend Steve Thomas from Redland Bay Baptist Church. He sends his apologies and has asked me to step in his place and just to lead you in this time. And I was just reflecting on it this morning after he rang me, and I'd been reading a verse myself in the Bible that challenges people of faith in God. It says there that whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we're to do it all to the praise and the glory of God. And it challenges us as people of faith to do our best, to do what we can to the best of our ability, and in doing that, honour God. And it's a challenge then. It's a challenge to work at integrity. It's a challenge to in our whole work ethic, in the way that we approach things and do things. And I was thinking that through for myself as a pastor in a church, but then thinking and putting a layer across you as counsellors, and thinking that there's another layer which applies to all of us, because as counsellors, you have a higher calling. You have a higher calling to do what's best for the residents of Redland City, to ensure that everything you do then is done to the best of your ability and is done in the best of your ability as you serve the people of Redland City. And so that's a challenge to your work ethic and to your integrity and to your words and actions in the way in which you undertake the role and the responsibilities that you have. And so that then impacts your... as it does for me as a pastor, but it impacts for you your interactions with people, your relationships with people, the impact that your decisions have on the people around you. And so the challenge is to think that through with all that you do today. And I know that all of you have the best interests of the city of Redland at your heart, because that's why you've put your hand up to do what you do. And so as churches, we pray for you. We pray regularly for you, that whatever you do in word or deed, that you would do it to the best of your ability and that you would do it for the best of this city. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that, but to challenge you as well. We're praying for you, but there's a call on you as well in the work that you do. Let me lead you in prayer. Loving Father, we want to pause this morning and thank you. Thank you for this beautiful city that we're privileged to call home. We thank you for its natural beauty. We thank you for the things that make up this city. We thank you for the freedoms and opportunities we have. And we thank you for this council. We thank you for a team of people who love the city and who want what's best for it. We pray that whatever they do in word or deed, that they do it all to the best of their ability, that they undertake their work with integrity, with honesty, with openness. Lord, that they would do it with the gifts that they have, and that they will do it for the city that we all love. As this city council gathers for its first meeting in a new season, we pray that they might deliberate and decide on important matters relevant to the present and future well-being of the city, that you would bless and guide them as they do that. We pray for the mayor, for the various levels of city officials, and in particular for this assembled council. We pray that you bless them with your wise and caring spirit. We pray that they'll be able to set aside concerns. Together they might best serve the good of this city, its residents, and all that makes up this city. We pray that they honour the purpose for which they've been elected. We pray that this meeting might be conducted with a spirit of mutual respect. We pray for the agenda that's set before them today. Give them insight into what they need to do and to say, and the decisions that they need to make. Lord, bless their work, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Councillors, the next item on our agenda is recognition of achievement, and I believe we do have a couple. We do have a couple of items to present. Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I was going to make a couple of presentations. There's a couple of details I'm just needing to check, so I'm going to do that at the next meeting, if that's okay.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Gleeson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to acknowledge. One of our residents is in the chambers with us today in the gallery by invitation of ourselves, and it's Graham Prowse. Prowse has been a towering figure within the Redlands boxing for more than 30 years. He's trained state and Australian champions. He's been a national coach who has taken national teams to international competition. He's won countless boxing titles himself, and he's a very proud Redlander with a World Masters boxing belt as his most prized possession. For Graham, national and now international fame has been a long time coming, but for those who know what motivates him, it was probably inevitable that he tasted success at this elite level. While Graham has collected plenty of boxing accolades at schoolboy, golden gloves, state and regional level over more than 50 years, the one thing that eluded him was the fact that he'd never had the chance to win a national belt himself, and that hurt him. So 3 years ago, he decided to do something about it. After a few years out of the sport, he got back into serious training with just one goal in mind. That was that missing national title. The fact that he was approaching 60 years of age was immaterial. He was fit. Put you in there, Graham. He'd run marathons and half marathons, and now he knew that there were fights for him at his age. He jumped straight back into the ring. In quick succession, he reeled off Queensland, Western Australia, South Australian, and then national masters titles. A shot at the world title was the next logical step. Graham, who was born at Whipstead Manor 61 years ago and has lived and worked in the Redlands for all but 6 years of his life, was helped on the way by many locals who chipped in to help him raise the money to send him to the US. Incidentally, that was organised at short notice by my brother Steve, and was attended by many people in this room, including yourself and myself, Madam Mayor. In February, Graham arrived in Kansas City to take on the formerly undefeated US Masters champ in his 61 kilogram plus weight division. Three rounds later, the title was heading back to the Redlands, and Graham had the belt after inflicting the first Masters defeat on his New York opponent, winning each of the three rounds and being declared a unanimous victor by the five judges. Typifying his calm demeanour, Madam Mayor, Graham summed up the fight this way: "I landed a few more on him than he did me." I happen to also know Graham put his opponent into the eight count a couple of times as well during the fight, so he did very well and definitely dominated. Now he's back in the Redlands and back in training for the coming state and nationals masters titles. If he can raise the money, there may be another trip to the US to show that his win was no fluke. Knowing Prowse, nothing will stop him. I know Redlanders will dig deep to help our homegrown champ up have another crack at the title. And a certificate of achievement from Redlands City Council is a far cry from a world title belt, but we're very proud of you, Graham. And I would ask you to come forward to receive this small token on behalf of our city. Well done, mate.
Thank you, councillors, and congratulations, Graham. And for those of you who don't know Graham, he's just part of the social fabric of our city. He's been at every festival that I've been to doing security, great mentor for young people, and it's really an honour for me to be able to, after knowing Graham for so many years, to be able to acknowledge his great achievement just last year. So, last year? Yeah, earlier this year. This year? Okay. Seems like a long time ago now. All right, moving on. Any other recognition of achievement? We'll move on with the agenda. Receipt and confirmation of minutes, councillors. I need a mover and seconder that we confirm the minutes of general meeting held on the 2nd of March. Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Those against? I'll just get your hand shown. Thanks, Councillor. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 5.2, councillors, is the post-election meeting minutes, which we also need confirmation of. A mover and seconder for that, please. Moved Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Elliott. Any items of correctness, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Matters outstanding from minutes. I'm advised of previous meeting that I'm advised there are none. So we'll move straight on to public participation. Now, I know we have got some speakers that have indicated their desire to speak this morning, so I will need a mover and seconder that we actually... One, two, three, four, five... that we adjourn the meeting for about 25 minutes, councillors. So I'm getting advice. We'll move it for 30 minutes, councillors. So we need a mover and seconder that the meeting adjourn for a 30-minute public participation segment to allow members of the public to address council on matters of public interest related to local government. Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Just before I invite the first speaker up, councillors, I just want to remind the people in the public gallery that you might have noticed that there is signage around chambers regarding public participation at meetings, and it's our usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or organisation that they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. The information is recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document available for inspection at Council's Administration Building and published on Council's website. You also need to be aware that your presentation will be recorded on audio video, and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording video may be placed in the public domain. Any person addressing a meeting will state their name, suburb or organisation they represent, and the subject they wish to speak about. Stand unless you're unable to do so. Act and speak with decorum. Be respectful and courteous. Make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor, or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. And as chairperson, it is my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address this local government. Also to give priority to members of the public who have made a written application to the CEO to address the meeting, and to determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to speak at the time available. Each speaker has a maximum of 5 minutes, dependent on the number of speakers. And I also have the opportunity to withdraw the approval to address council before the time period has elapsed. Just a reminder that debate or discussion cannot be entered into at this time. And for those of you who may require a hearing loop, if there are any speakers who are hearing impaired, please wait in your seat. Put your hand up and we'll bring the microphone to you. But if you could just please stand while you're speaking. On our list, I have been asked to move people forward according to their busy diaries. So if I could ask Mrs. Jeanette Douglas, resident of Queensland, to come, Cleveland, pardon me, to come forward, Jeanette, to be our first speaker. And I think you know the drill. Please state your name and suburb or the organisation you represent, and you're free to start when you're ready.
Thank you. Jeanette Douglas, don't represent any organisation. I'm retired. I'm going to speak about a presentation of the Toondah Harbour petition. But firstly, I would like to congratulate all of you on having been elected to Redland City Council. I know how exhausting the campaign has been. Well done, all of you. There's a couple of things which go hand in hand with this morning's devotional section that I would just like you to be mindful of. Even though you may represent a division, you are first and foremost Redlands City Councillors, and as such work for the Redlands community. The community expects you to work collaboratively in a democratic environment for the benefit of the whole community, considering the future of the Redlands and its lifestyle. The community expects you also to be fully informed on all items or issues you are required to vote on, because even though they may not be in your division, they affect the whole of the Redlands and you are Redlands City Councillors. As the principal petitioner, I am presenting to you a copy of a petition on Toondah Harbour, which was tabled in the Parliament on the 17th of March. It asks for a proper community consultation process based on community vision and values as expressed in the Redlands 2030 Community Plan, and is focused on upgrading the ferry terminal facilities, because so far there has been absolutely no public consultation on the Walker Group proposal. The petition, there were three petitions actually tabled that day. This one, the paper petition, another paper petition which had 11 signatories because people sent them directly to the Parliament, and an e-petition. I would like to share with you the note I wrote to the Speaker of the House that accompanied this petition. Dear Mr. Wellington, the Walker proposal for the development of Toondah Harbour. Accompanying this note is a petition sponsored by the Clerk of the House for tabling before the Legislative Assembly of Queensland. The petition numbers 946 signatures in two groups. One group, 772 signatories, provided street addresses, while the other group of 174 signatories merely provided email addresses. I believe that in the order of only 1.5% of people approached declined to sign the petition. Surely we do not have to door knock every house in Queensland to emphasise to the Parliament how important Moreton Bay is to Australia and the world. The petition, another reflection of community concern about development of Toondah Harbour, follows a 10 to 12,000 signature petition collected in 1988 over many months, a 1,211 signature petition tabled in Parliament in February 2014, and also there is a parliamentary e-petition, number 253716, endorsed by over 1,310. To be tabled. Residents of the Redlands and other Queenslanders are becoming very tired of having to do the government's job of defending Moreton Bay. Surely every effort should be taken to keep it as natural as possible rather than hand it over to developers, particularly when it is such an important and sensitive ecosystem, as the environment, as the EnviroTest report submitted to the government in 1988 and many subsequent studies suggest. No doubt all of you have seen David Attenborough's program on the grave dangers to the barrier reef coral. Perhaps you don't know, though, that Moreton Bay has massive amounts of coral, and Dr. Charlie Verrin, our world authority on the subject, found a unique coral to Moreton Bay and the world in Moreton Bay in January. The final count of signatories to the petition, 2,158, not including the email address, only the signatories. I note that our local member of State Parliament recently described the Eastern Busway petition with 1,200 signatories, including both paper and online, as an overwhelming success, with the community making their voice heard loud and clear. By his yardstick, the responses to both the paper petitions and the online petition, being 2,158, demonstrates clearly a strong community view. Please, Council, safeguard the Bay, our greatest asset for future generations. I don't believe you would want to be known as the Council who killed Moreton Bay. Thank you.
Next speaker, Mr. Tom Taranto, resident of Cleveland.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, councillors, I congratulate your recent success to become the representatives and advocates for the Redlands. I also welcome and am encouraged to learn of Council's recent commitment to transform into a group that works collaboratively. My name is Tom Taranto of Island Street, Cleveland. I am a past member of Redlands2030.net, Redlands' growing independent community information network. I recently resigned when I nominated for election for council. As a candidate for our recent council elections, I learnt much. Importantly, I met and discussed many issues with many residents. I found Redlands is endowed with a large number of skilled, knowledgeable, and dare I say, wise individuals wanting to contribute to the well-being of their community and to see the values, their values, maintained. In August last year, Redlands2030.net published an article on empowering the community. It investigated many examples where Australian councils have successfully engaged their communities to collaboratively and transparently assist in decision making. The article's investigations were built on social media comments and articles by our councillor Paul Bishop, a councillor who has consistently championed community involvement within the Redlands. The success of this process of collaboration and transparency between council and its community was, I consider, acknowledged by our previous council when our past Deputy Mayor, Alan Beard, called for a report on the best practice for community panels as reference, advisory and or review groups. It was unanimously voted for at Council's general meeting on the 26th of August 2015. I look forward to learning more about this report, a report which could lead to greater resolve of difficult and complex decisions, a report that could help embrace the growing number of constituents whose focus is, like yours, on the public interest and the well-being of Redlands values. In closing, I am an advocate of the 2030 Community Plan. It has stood the test of time as a measure of our community's values. I know of no other. I quote from the Community Plan's final page titled Next Steps. Redlands 2030 is a living plan which will inform Council's corporate plan, long-term financial plan, asset management plans, and operational plans so that it is embedded in the way Council does its business. Importantly, a community committee will help drive the implementation of the plan, assisting with monitoring goal achievements and measuring effectiveness. Given the collaborative approach now underpinning the business of Council, I ask that Council consider establishing this important community committee. Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Taranto. Our next speaker is Mrs. Pam Spence from Birkdale.
Mayor, councillors, my name is Pam Spence and I'm the president of Birkdale Progress Association. Congratulations, councillors, on your election or re-election to Redlands City Council. You have been granted an honour, a privilege, by the people of the Redlands to protect and to promote the past, the present and the future of this city and all that it contains. Mayor Williams, reported in the Redland City Bulletin, April 20th, said that she believed a collaborative and united council would best deliver on issues important to the community. Collaborative and community are two important words in the Mayor's statement. Collaboration is defined as seeking a solutions advantageous to all parties. All parties refers to those living in a locality, the members of a community who are affected by all decisions made. Our locality is the Redlands. Councillors, you will make the final decisions, but the process to make you informed citizens must include all interested individuals with their diverse needs and passions. Thus, the community desires transparency on council matters and full involvement in the processes toward decision making, with those decisions reflecting community outcomes and community values. These issues are important to the community. The Redlands is in a unique position as it offers a great variety for residents and visitors to experience and enjoy. We have the sun, the beach, access to marine sanctuary, small farms with some still growing strawberries, and bushland that provides habitat for our unique koala. We also have old houses that reflect a bygone era. The Redlands community has shown that heritage is considered to be very important, that it values the stories of the past. Sadly, heritage in the Redlands has been neglected, but with the saving of Willard's Farm, it has gained much attention. As yet, Redland City Council doesn't have a heritage policy nor a heritage officer. So, what happens to properties that are not council-owned, yet are considered highly significant to local history, as is Willard's Farm, that are in danger of disappearing? What about the management of the restoration process of Willard's Farm? Who? When? How? Concerned residents have asked me what's happening with it now that it's fenced off. The community has been delighted with Redland City Council's purchase of it, but do not wish to see Willard's Farm lie neglected. Heritage involves history, looking at traditions, achievements, events and beliefs of preceding generations. There are two styles of heritage currently taking place in the Redlands. On one hand, we have properties like Willard's Farm that can be restored, enabling the lives of the families that live there to be presented to the public. The curtilage of Willard's Farm has to be included in its restoration, as it enriches the stories of those who live there. Also, the enclosed yard contains structures that refer to other cultures, which expands our knowledge of those who also made the Redlands their home. The Commonwealth land, of course, can't be forgotten, as it is it's historically connected to Willard's Farm. On the other hand, we have modern history being recorded by ordinary Redland citizens with the commencement of the Birkdale Thornside Oral Histories Project, initially started by Councillor Bishop. It involves everyday people telling their stories and creating a personal snapshot of life in these suburbs. I am pleased to have been told that a councillor here wishes to become involved in this particular community pursuit that values heritage. Councillors, the community values heritage. Councillors, here is your opportunity to collaborate, to connect with the people of the Redlands, the people who elected you, to make informed decisions on all matters, especially heritage. The community requests a heritage policy. The community requests a heritage officer. Councillors, community involvement, community consultation is needed at all times, with decisions being made that reflect community values. These issues are important to the community. Thank you.
Mr. Robert Kelly from Ormiston.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, councillors, and good morning. I'm Robert Kelly. I live in George Street, Ormiston. I've learned a lot in the last few years. We recently had a councillor election. To me, it was a farce because the councillors, as I understand it, have got no say in the operation of the Redland City Council. I was born in Brisbane in 1939 and I moved to the Redlands in 1997. I've made some good decisions in life and I've made some bad ones. The worst one I've ever made was moving to the Redlands in 1997. I lived here in peace and happiness till 2014, when new neighbours moved in and began running an air conditioner. I first went to them and asked them not to run it at night, particularly after 10. I couldn't sleep. I finished up, I was tortured for 5 weeks. After I spoke to them on 2 occasions, I went to the owner, to the agent for the owner, who was a local real estate agent. They refused to do anything, but they did have it serviced, and I said after they had it serviced that it was still too noisy. I then came to council. Council gave me a form to fill out over a few days. I did that and filled it out. I've looked up the Queensland Government noise monitoring regulations, and nowhere in it does it say the noise has to be measured in the master bedroom. Ultimately, after I filled out the form, the council came out one morning and this air conditioner was obnoxious. The guy said, as we walked up the driveway, he said, "I can hear what you're complaining about, Mr. Kelly." He said, "But I'll have to go away and come back and organise a time to monitor it." The council, the government's noise regulations do not say anything. It has to be measured in the master bedroom. Anyway, they came back that night, and I wasn't allowed in my own bedroom with them. I find that a denial of justice. So they measured it in the bathroom, and the bathroom got a window way up here. I don't know whether they had their microphone or not. Anyway, the noise level come back under the level. I kept on complaining. And I'll read to you some of my complaints, emails. This is from the 4th of July. Mr. Kelly was informed the results of the noise. A number of emails were sent to Councillor Boglery during the evening and day regarding the noise registered in DataWorks. RC, the 6th of the 7th, RCC received 2 emails overnight from Mr. Kelly regarding noise. 7th of the 7th, further email sent to corporate email box by Mr. Kelly. 8th of the 7th, a number of emails were received from Mr. Kelly regarding the noise and for monitoring techniques. A letter was sent to Mr. Kelly advising the closure of the case. 9th of the 7th, further emails received by RC Redland City Council regarding the noise. A letter was hand-delivered to customer service. This is on the 11th. Service caused by Mr. Kelly questioning the investigation. 12th of the 7th, approximately 10 emails received by Mr. Kelly overnight with varying levels of detail and relevance. 14th of the 7th, a number of letters were received by Redland City Council from Mr. Kelly. All these were just ignored. Ignored. Is that justice? Is that common sense? As I say, it seems to me that the Redland City Council is a dictatorship and you people have no say in what they do. They make their own rules. What can you do about it? Nothing. We can sit here and talk about it and say it's all nice and rosy. The mayor always says the Redland's a great place to live. I've lived here, yes, for some number of years, but I'm in the stage now of having to leave because I called the police many times during this period. The police do nothing. The police are not allowed to hear noise from air conditioning. The council have got sole control over air conditioners in Queensland.
Mr. Kelly, I'll just remind you, you've been speaking for 5 minutes, so you might need to get to wind up, please.
Okay, just a minute, I've got a few more emails here. Anyway, the police were called many times, and to cap it all, one night when I said I was had suicidal thought. When I opened the front door when they came, I was thrown to my own floor, handcuffed and dragged out by force and thrown into a police vehicle and driven away. This whole episode has cost me $5,000 approximately, and all I ever wanted to do was live and sleep in my own home. And I still haven't got no answers. No one's ever said sorry. No one said anything to me. And the smart-ass councillor...
Mr Kelly, please refrain from using foul language.
Okay,
be respectful and courteous as fast.
The council legal continued to deny to say that they didn't ignore my emails. The only thing that happened was when I had to pay $550 to get my own noise assessment, and then they come out and ultimately it was stopped. There's more emails and contact I had here with the police and with the council, and they just bloody well ignored it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Mrs. Maria Seeley?
Good morning, Mayor, councillors. Congratulations on your post. My name's Maria Seeley. I live at 34 Sycamore Parade, Victoria Point. I'm here today actually advocating for all our residents on the Victoria Point Town Centre. We're just behind in Sycamore Parade. There's approximately 20 homes. So we've got a conservation area that's in jeopardy at the moment. So I'm just here just to voice basically our concerns, and thank you for allowing me to do this today. We purchased our land back in 83. We're on Teak Lane, which is actually a lane which leads into the Victoria Point Shopping Centre. There's a conservation area behind us, approximately 4,840 square metres. Between 1983 and 2002, myself and my neighbours used to maintain the easement. We did it every week. Same with our properties behind our... We did fire breaks for about 20-odd years before council then took trusteeship of the property. Now, what's happened is it's actually been relinquished back to the state, and now a development approval has been put through. So there's 20 homes approximately that are heavily impacted on this decision. 20 families, 20 homes. So what I'm here to do today is basically just ask our new councillors and also the mayor if you possibly can go to the site, have a look, survey the area, and if we can get back to the state, because now the state and local authority is heavily involved in this now. The local authority is still trustee until such time the development approval gets the ticks and crosses and everything like that, but it hasn't happened at this stage. We secured a meeting with Mr. Lancini in August 2015 last year. Our councillor Hewlett was present, our state member, residents were present, and a member of the police were there as well too. Mr. Lancini basically showed us a map of what was going to happen behind the property and a car park and future retail. So we all went into shock. So there was no concerns about the residents, the impact. So at this stage now, we were told also at the meeting that our property values will automatically be basically devalued straight away as soon as that takes place. But it's not with our properties, but also to do with the green space. That green space, we've got original trees there back before, 1983, and they're still there. And council kindly, you know, put in mature trees, and they've sort of grown beautifully now. So we've got the flora, the fauna, the bird life back again. But yes, we had unfortunate situations where we've had chroming going on, we've had graffiti, we've had people from the tavern coming through the easement, breaking bottles, rubbish. This happened quite often. council were kindly sent the crews out to clean up everything, which was, you know, great. But this was an ongoing situation and maybe flared up maybe once a year, every couple of years, but little gangs went and, you know, they just came and gone, basically. So what we're sort of just aiming for, we're sort of putting through to put a security camera there, basically to you know, sort of solve that issue. That was back from 2004. We were kept lobbying the council to put in a security camera, also to town centre, but they refused on many occasions. Even to the point where we just wanted a secure bin just inside the gate. There was constant rubbish. We're constantly picking it up. Council are kindly getting their crews out. Also, town centre sometimes pop their heads in, clean it all up. It is a green space, and there was no public consultation with us, the residents, via council. There was no public notices. There was no open forum. There was no door knocking, nothing, until we received our official letters from the department in December 2014. And it was a shock, because if we could foresee, fast-track it maybe 14 years down the track, that this was going to happen, we would have done everything in our power to stop the town centre from being developed. And I've got copies there to pass on to our councillor if he wants to pass on to the other councillors about the conditions of Lansini, excuse me, and basically outlining the conservation area and other sort of emails and letters over the last 12 months which we've had sent to the state and had responses. So basically, we just, on our agenda here at the moment, me standing here, just for our residents, is to stop this from going ahead. That's our agenda at this present time. And it's just unfortunate that I'm standing here having... if I could foresee that this was going to happen 14 years ago, it's just dumbfounding, to be honest. So standing here and just being here, addressing all the councillors, and I'm sorry if I'm wasting your time, but this is a very serious issue for us there at Sycamore Parade. So, I just hope, and thank you to Lance, our councillor, for coming on board. We've got the state on board as well. It was tabled, I believe, in Parliament. It was Parliament's resumed again, so it was mentioned in Parliament, I believe, last week. I'll be just following up, but I'm letting all the residents know after the meeting today, sort of, you know, what the outcome is over the next few weeks, few months. But at this stage of everything, we just basically want to stop from what's going to happen. Because once that land's levelled, developed, a car park is not going to solve the issue. And also, it'll create then a hooning paradise, because it's actually a large stretch of land, which is probably most of the residents and public I'm not aware of this park that's behind there. So it'd have to be sort of manned 24/7, either by, I'm thinking, a guard or a camera. So my husband and myself now have taken on board now to actually, we don't have deep pockets like Mr. Lansini, but what we're going to do is actually install a camera. We're going to, the police have actually come to us about 3 years ago and suggested that we actually get a camera pointing to the easement. And the gate, we've got a gate that locks into the shopping centre and perhaps both ways on the actual property. and also register with the police, because unfortunately the Redlands is not renowned for 24/7 CCTV cameras, we believe. So we're taking it on board to do that ourselves, you know. So and also to get a neighbourhood watch program. We've been trying to get that up and running the last 3 years, actually.
Cecilia, just remind you that you've spoken for 5 minutes, if you don't mind winding up, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay, all right. But in closing, thank you very much for listening to me. I'm a bit sort of nervous and shaky, but I just wanted to get the point across for all our sort of residents and everything, and have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillors, that's our public session. We have another member that's not advised us that would like to address us, so I'll require another 5 minute extension for that, councillors. Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Those against, Councillor Gleeson. If you'd like to approach the microphone, Lavinia, please start by stating your name and suburb and the organisation you represent, and you know, you can begin when you're ready. Thank you. If you just move a little closer to Councillor Golay's microphone, Lavinia. And just, you can move the podium.
So I just stand next to Mr.
If Ryan. You just move the podium close enough, that should be fine.
I'm so sorry. Fine. I'll just. Not to worry. Sorry. I did say you're short. And again, I do appreciate the opportunity to speak to the meeting today. My name is Lavinia Wood. I'm a resident of Thornlands, and I address you as the spokesperson for CARP, the Community Alliance for Responsible Planning, Redlands Inc. Firstly, congratulations to you all on your election to council. It is indeed an honour to represent your community. Congratulations in particular to you, Madam Mayor, for the new spirit of cooperation and inclusivity we have read about in recent times. It bodes well for the community. And we look forward to your ending the rift that saw the last council divided along pro-development and pro-community lines. And in exactly that context, I am here today to ask this new council to respond with integrity to the calls from the community to withdraw the current draft planning scheme, the draft Redland City Plan, and begin again. We ask you to do this with the weight of the 6,400 community submissions that were made to the draft city plan consultation phase. We ask you to do this with the clear understanding that the draft city plan 2015 is the product of the extraordinary access and influence the development industry was given to the planning process by the former council.
Excuse me, Lavinia.
We ask you
that I might get you to remove that remark because that's not, in fact, the truth. So
the development industry reference group, madam.
I think that's incorrect. But please proceed. But that is incorrect. Thank you.
Appears to have had. We ask you to do this because the draft city plan 2015 does not reflect the vision, values, hopes, and aspirations of the Redlands 2030 community plan. The People's Plan. Indeed, the Redlands that the draft city plan, if left unchanged, will deliver will be unrecognizable. There will be such intensive development and environmental damage that we will be well on our way to becoming just another section of Noosa-Ngata, the 200-kilometer city predicted to sprawl the length of the coast from Noosa in the north to Coolangatta in the south, if we do not break the grip of the development industry on land use planning in Queensland. And here are the three things to remember, please, councillors, on the path to returning land use planning to the community. Firstly, yes, you can stop population growth. Like the emperor with new clothes, don't fall for the self-serving development industry propaganda. All around us in the real world, thinkers and scientists are shouting to the rooftops that we need to stabilize our population. And why? Dr. Paul Williams, senior lecturer at Griffith University, wrote an article for the Courier Mail last week, entitled Population is the Problem, telling us a growing, unsustainable population is the elephant in Queensland's room and that Queensland desperately needs a population plan because, quote, no one wants to see their children living cheek by jowl in a state where native animals are extinct. No one wants to see their grandchildren cough their way through a congested Brisbane of 8 million people. Emeritus Professor Ian Lowe points out that population growth is simply a consequence of a federal government policy setting, saying we could easily stabilize our future if our future population if we chose to do so. Yet the recent approach of allowing approximately 250,000 migrants a year assumes we are happy to have the population expand until it causes critical shortages or social unrest. This is not a clever approach. Indeed, Dr. Jane O'Sullivan at the University of Queensland found each additional person moving into Queensland cost the community $250,000 in provision of services, and that continued unrestrained population growth will leave us always playing catch-up and condemned forever to providing more rather than better services and infrastructure. And this is why, Madam Mayor, you will have no chance of delivering on your election promise to tackle traffic if population growth continues to swell the numbers and overwhelm our roads. And why, just as surely, Madam Mayor, the goal of providing local jobs is an impossible task as thousands more people arrive and temporary construction jobs come to an end. The second thing to remember, councillors, is Redlands 2030 Community Plan provides council a powerful and detailed guide to building the future we all want. If you take the influence of the development industry out of the equation, what kind of a future would the community describe? The answer is found in the Redlands 2030 Community Plan. The community has known for a long time that population growth cannot continue forever. We see clearly that the emperor is indeed naked and that the master weavers serve only themselves. This is why the community plan vision statement says we will lead Australia by acknowledging there are limits to population growth and having our planning documents reflect this. Your task as councillors is to ensure that every decision you make adds incrementally to delivering the Redlands we all want to see in 15 years' time. As a new council, your first step is to recraft our biggest planning document.
Thank you. Lavinia, you have 5 minutes. Can you wind up, please?
Thank you. In close consultation with your community. And the third thing to remember, councillors, is don't take no for an answer. This will be very important when you have to take on the current state government with respect to the city plan and all other land use planning matters. And we expect that you will take them on and push back as need be. We expect you to hold fast to the vision and values of our community and to do all you can to protect and preserve them. We expect you to fight ferociously and tenaciously. And we, in turn, your community, will do our part. We will stand shoulder to shoulder with you, a community united. No state government could withstand such pressure. Together, we will surely succeed. Together, we will provide leadership and thinking for the 21st century. Together, we will protect and preserve the Redlands, not only for ourselves, but for generations to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Lavinia. Take a mover and second that we resume meeting proceedings. Thank you. Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Are those against? The motion is carried. We have two councillors absent, so the motion is unanimous with the exception of Councillor Gleeson and Councillor Tolte. Okay, moving on to petitions. And I haven't been advised of any petitions, councillors, but I have been advised of some presentations. Councillor Edwards?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to present a brief report regarding my attendance at the Australian Small Islands Forum held on the 16th to 19th of February this year. The Australian Small Islands Forums were originally developed and hosted by Lord Howe Island in April 2012, and Redlands were represented by Council Officer Frank Pearce. The purpose of the initial event was to develop island connections with an aim to lobby government for targeted support of island-specific issues. The success of this forum led to a desire for the event to be held every 2 years. The 2014 forum was scheduled to be held at Flinders Island, however, logistical and financial considerations prevented this from happening. The Norfolk Island Steering Committee stepped in to host as an alternate venue for 2015, however, this was deferred until February 2016. This year's forum covered a diverse range of issues, including PR, marketing and promotion of island opportunities, upskilling and capacity building, economic development and funding opportunities, building strong communities, cultural heritage and sustainability, tourism marking and benchmarking, environmental considerations for islands, and other topics of interest to island communities. The session on building strong communities was written by our Council Officer Frank Pearce, and as he was unable to attend, was delivered by Council Officer Kim Kerwin. And I participated in a Q&A session answering questions around the communities on our Moreton Bay Islands. The forum, whilst still in its infancy, has delivered a forum for discussion on a range of topics that most participants would have gained a benefit from. As Norfolk Island is currently transitioning from self-government to a council-based structure of administration with a greater governance role from New South Wales and the Commonwealth, there is a heightened degree of anxious concern about the future of their island community. I believe that the input from both Kim and myself regarding shared governance would have alleviated some of those concerns. There are also several things I've come away with from the conference with that I believe can have an application to our own Bay Islands. Our islands see tourism as a logical avenue to help build sustainable on-island economies. In that regard, the more successful islands have a central point to coordinate dates for tourist activities. This ensures there's a minimum conflicting of event dates and that from a tourist perspective, there is a daily variety of engaging activities. For our islands, I intend to meet with the local tourism board to pursue this process. In developing tourism, all islands face similar issues such as transport, costs and capacity. The seasonality also places challenges on business operators, and the downward spiral of some operators that chase a greater share of a diminishing market was evidenced on Norfolk Island by a high number of empty shop fronts. I believe that there are lessons gained from the forum that I can engage with the local island businesses. At the conclusion of the forum, I took the opportunity to suggest improvements for the next forum, scheduled in 2 years' time. Some of my suggestions were to have a paid membership in order to have the forum itself sustainable. Also, for all attendees to present an issue that they believe needs to be addressed by higher levels of government. An agreed issue by the forum should then be the focus to take to government in the intervening 2 years. I also suggested that forum should include a federal government minister and state government representatives in order to have them for them to have a deeper understanding of island community issues and where funding opportunities could be targeted. I believe the Australian Small Islands Forum to be a valuable voice for island communities at a strategic policy level, and the involvement of this council not only ensures our islands are at the table for future federal discussions, but we also have the expertise within our staff that can contribute and benefit the Small Islands Forum. I'd like to table this report.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Have we any other presentations? Don't think we do. Okay. All right, so we'll just move on, councillors, to item 9, which is order of business. Is there any motion to alter the order of business? Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just given I think there's going to be some discussions on the items today, is it possible to bring my motion forward because there are people in the gallery that...
You want to move that item forward, seconded by Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. So we'll move item...
14.1.1.
To the front of the agenda. Councillors, before we enter into business, just remind you of your material, personal interests and conflict of interest. Your responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009 are in relation to a councillor's material, personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed at a meeting. There's a summary of those responsibilities in your agenda, councillors. So moving on then to item 14.1.1, which has been moved forward. Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move that Council resolves that the Chief Executive Officer writes to the Minister to the Department of Natural Resources and Mines and advises that Council has changed its view regarding its earlier request to relinquish the trusteeship of the property described as 32A Teak Lane, Victoria Point, and requests that the trusteeship be returned to Council to maintain it as public open space.
Move Councillor Hewlett. Seconded Councillor Golay. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hewlett?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I guess this is a fairly complex issue that has gone over many years. We know there have been issues at Teak Lane. I think the biggest issue for the community is the communication or the consultation with the community as we relinquished this trusteeship wasn't undertaken. I naively assumed it would be the responsibility of the state, and the state advised it was the responsibility of council, so it basically got left out there. And if the relinquishment is rescinded, then... Council is going to have to look at ways to address the issues that were in Teak Lane, but I think there are remedies that we can find. So I just look for your support on this motion. Thank you.
Any speakers against? Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Mayor. In the original motion, when we did this, I supported the councillor, but I just don't think you can turn these things on and off. And it's been given to the state, and I think our only... If I go, our second bite at the cherry is when it comes to the DA application comes to council. I know it'll come to council that we have a look at it there and see if we can address some of those issues that the ladies that spoke today. But I'm not going to get council into we do something at the start, we've changed their mind and we look foolish. We do look foolish. So it's gone in. I think we have to wait. That's the process. It's gone. I think that's where it's going.
Thank you, Councillor. Let's speak of four. No other speakers for comment, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As Councillor Hewlett's local councillor, I will support his motion in support of the residents. But I also supported the motion last time in support of the residents. And the information that was provided at that time was that over many years, everything that could possibly be tried had been tried, from planting prickly bushes to putting up solar lighting to added security to cameras, etc., had all been tried, and that this was a hot spot for crime and that it was an issue that couldn't be managed, and the best way to manage it was to give up, relinquish the management back to the state to take care of the matters there. And so I am concerned now that I'm being told that we're going to find a way to manage these problems when we were told last time this was the only way because there was no way to manage the problems. So I have some concerns about this, but if that's what the local councillor says his residents want, then I will support it.
A comment as well, Councillor Bishop?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Through you, we've had some discussions about this, and obviously there was support initially to let this be bequeathed under the state. One of the reasons was the safety concerns and issues that were raised, which I have been led to believe have been less of an occurrence in the last few years, which is a very good sign. I'd just like to acknowledge what the resident has said today and the willingness, and I certainly want to support anything to do with a neighbourhood watch approach. I think they're very helpful for a community for many reasons, safety being one of those. But I also think that there's a way going forward for Councillor Hewlett and the community and the state, if this does stay with the state, as it has been originally requested, for there to be a collective approach, and hopefully that would be an optimal way that the establishment, being the Victoria Point Centre, and the residents and the state and council can work together with a shared agreement or understanding to look forward what would be the best use of the land. As Councillor Elliott mentioned before, we will have approvals, any proposed amendments or approvals brought to us, so that's an opportunity for us to do a balance and check. But I think I'm going to need to support that original thought to take it to the state and ask them, and where we can advocate, and I'll be happy to support a letter encouraging council support any help that the state needs to listen to the community and the VP establishment going forward. Thank you.
Any other comments, councillors? A comment? Councillor Golley?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Just very briefly, not to take away from Councillor Elliott's comment there, we are nominated as advocates on behalf of the community. If the community changes its mind and wishes us to take a different strategy, then we should follow that up. Thank you.
Councillors, any other speakers? Councillor Hewlett, would you like to sum up?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Look, I think that the whole issue is this also got compounded by the transfer of some council parks consideration to sell, and I think Teak Lane got it caught up in that as well, which created further community angst. In all reality, I honestly thought the state would consult with the community on the relinquishment, and I think the state told me that council was responsible. So although I consulted with the community on the many issues down there, there was no consultation about the relinquishment, which I think is basically the crux of the whole situation. But I'd appreciate your support, and I'd like to move the motion. Thank you.
We have summed up a technical question. Is that okay, Councillor Hewlett?
Well, I'm just wondering on the point of consultation, wouldn't it be an impact assessable application that the state's put forward and therefore consultation would be required through public submission?
Correct. Yeah, that's right. Okay. I've allowed enough leeway for discussion. So, councillors, the motion has been put. Could you please, I'll put the motion, seek your support, Councillor Hewlett. Those in favour? Those against? Those in favour? So we've got Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Golley, Councillor Boglari. Those against, we have Councillor Bishop, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Williams. The motion's carried. Item 11.1.1, I'm going to ask Councillor Edwards to present that.
Item 11.1.1, review corporate policy 2557, council pensioner rebate policy. I move the officer's recommendation to note the review of the policy and adopt the revised policy, which updates the head of power and clarifies eligibility requirements.
So moved. Seconder for that, Councillor Elliott. Shall I speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
Just briefly, this is an administrative process. The policy was last reviewed in 2008 and is now overdue for review. During the officer's review, they found the head of power needed to be updated to reference current legislation. They also found that the policy continues in its current form to be socially responsible, and its application aligns to the Queensland Government Pensioner Rate Subsidy Scheme, and I support the recommendation.
Any speakers against, councillors? No. Any question, Councillor Tolte?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm happy to support this as a housekeeping matter, but I would like to have some discussion about the way it's applied at practical level, but I don't think we need to have that today. We can put this through and discuss it later.
It's noted for our budget discussions, Councillor. Any other speakers, councillors? There being none, you're supporting, getting ahead of it? Okay, are those in favour? Those against? A motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Edwards, 11.1.2.
Item 11.1.2, revised fees and charges, guideline and procedure. Move the officer's recommendation to note the review and adopt the amendment as written.
Move, Councillor Edwards. Seconded, Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
This is just a standard periodical review of a guideline and procedure. There are a few minor amendments, such as referencing stakeholders to our current corporate structure, providing a flow chart of chain of responsibility, and updating definitions to improve clarity. There are no direct financial impacts on council resulting from this report, and I support the recommendation.
Any speakers against, councillors? There being none, a speaker against, Councillor Bishop?
No.
Comment?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I appreciate this is the monthly update, and the only...
This is fees and charges guideline, councillor.
Forgive me, thank you.
Anything else to add, Councillor Edwards? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Item 11.1.3, February and March 2016 monthly financial reports. Councillor Edwards, would you mind presenting that? Thank you.
Monthly financial reports, February and March 2016. I move the officer's recommendation to note the reports.
Move, Councillor Edwards. Seconded, Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
I'll reference my comments to the most recent March report, which brings us to the closure of the third financial quarter. Council's year-to-date operating surplus of $6.187 million is a favourable variance of $3.04 million against budget. As part of this is due to rates repayments being received in advance. Capital works expenditure is behind budget by $4.17 million, which is due to timing of a number of delayed projects. Council cash balance stands at $144.308 million, from which $90.996 million is constrained reserves. All key performance indicators have been achieved or exceeded, with the usual exception of the asset sustainability stretch target ratio.
Any speakers against? Comment, Councillor Bishop?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just acknowledging that at the end of March 2016, Council's achieved 45% of its budgeted annual spend. We've had some discussions about where there may have been hold-ups and so forth. Officers are proceeding in an efficient manner with regards to that. I just think that that's something for us to be mindful of in future years with the budget coming up. And also for my own sake, and I know I've mentioned it previously, just that the sustainability ratio, I know that that's one of the issues that's highly contestable among people, but as we're looking out into the future years, I just think it's something that we just need to keep an eye on and be mindful of. Thank you.
Any other discussion, councillors? I might just repeat what I do every time Councillor Bishop raises the asset sustainability ratio, which is a stretch target, which most local governments across Queensland dispute is a relevant or even effective sustainability ratio. In fact, it could force councils to spend money on assets before required. And it is one of those things that as an organisation, Local Government Association, SEQ MES, take up on a regular basis with the state because it's one of their ratios which doesn't really drive the efficiencies that I think they set it out to do. So just to clarify that, and this council's asset management processes are well on track. We're certainly improving. Still a long way to go, councillor. There's no doubt about that. But that stretch target is one of those things that we continue to have an argument with the state over. And I might just see if we get a comment on the 40. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Argument. Oh, whatever. Firm discussion. We might just get a comment on the 45% capital spend.
Councillors, as you know, capital is one of those generic things that in Redlands we need to have permits in place for our marine infrastructure and those sort of things. They typically will be the delays. We do have a workshop this afternoon on the 15-16 budget, and you'll see there's around $11 million worth of projects that will be deferred through that. So we're on track to achieve the budget. And we are looking to work with you in the coming years to have a process that we can put other projects in underneath with sufficient notice. So that's an ongoing process. But as you'd understand, a lot of our big projects which require permits are outside of our control. We do best endeavours to get the state, etc., to do that. And one of the largest projects that is delayed and we're having a rethink is the Macleay Island car park. So we are working extremely hard and boat ramp to try and get that or a solution for our islands across the line, but there's about $2 million, I think, off memory in this year for that, $4 million expenditure. So that's a lot of our underruns, which is our best endeavours, again, to try and get that through. Thank you, ma'am.
You've just turned it off. On.
Turned everyone off.
All right. I don't think I took the motion on that one, did I? I put the motion. Those in favour? Unless you wanted to sum up, Councillor. Those against? Item is carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillors. Moving on to 11.2.1. Councillor Boglari, would you mind presenting this motion?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Item 11.2.1, I move the officer's recommendation to resolve that two councillors, councillor member and a councillor alternate member, be nominated as representatives of the Redlands City Council to each of the following Council of Mayors SEQ standing committees: Economic Development Committee, Councillor Paul Bishop and Councillor Karen Williams; Infrastructure and Planning Committee, Councillor Murray Elliott and Councillor Julie Tolte; Waterways and Environment Committee, Councillor Wendy Boglari and Councillor Peter Mitchell. Is Liz right, or would she like me to repeat them? Well done.
Do the nominations be reviewed after 12 months? I think that's the only thing you haven't mentioned.
Yep, and the nominations be reviewed after 12 months.
So that's a motion, Councillors. Have we got a seconder to that motion? Seconded Councillor Bishop. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
These are very important committees because it gives a whole of view over the South East Queensland on those various topics. So it's important that Redlands is absolutely represented strongly up there with our view going forward. It's a vital time in South East Queensland's planning. As previously mentioned today, the number of people coming in, all these elements will be affected, and we need to make sure that Redlands' voice is heard.
Thank you, Councillor Boglari. Is there any speaker against that at all?
Just a question. I was in a discussion yesterday and it didn't end like that. So.
Yeah, sorry, Councillor. I did. The General Manager of Organisational Services said that we did need an alternate director, and that's just so I did do a quick round the office this morning, but you weren't in your office at that time. My apologies, but I spoke to a number of councillors. Happy to have a discussion if you'd like further discussion about the alternate directors.
No, I hadn't heard. Well, was news to me.
Yeah, my apologies. It was one of those last-minute sort of awakenings when Nick mentioned it to me. So we just did a quick discussion in the office.
Okay.
And
I don't have a problem.
More than happy to have a discussion about the alternate director, the alternate members, if
that's
you wish.
Right. No, that's the other question. I just noticed on the terms of reference that other councils, some have one, and yet we have two. Is there any reason? Is it some? Sorry, I'm asking this because.
Sorry, thanks, Madam Mayor. It was dealt with in the original report with a recommendation to nominate a member and an alternate member. If Council chooses not to nominate an alternate member, if the member is unavailable to attend, Council cannot send another councillor in his or her place. So that's the purpose of having the alternate member, so you have someone nominated who can attend in the absence of the full member.
My apologies, Councillor Lee. I did try to do the rounds. Councillor Hughes, are you a question?
Thank you. Madam Mayor, Nick just answered that question for me. I was going to ask, does that mean that we would have two representatives at each meeting? But obviously now I see that's basically a proxy role. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hughes. Any further discussion, councillors? I'll hand back to Councillor Boglari. Did you need to sum up, Councillor? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? A motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Item 11.3.1. I think, Councillor Elliott, you agreed to present these this morning.
Thanks, Mayor. Item 11.3.1, decisions made under delegated authority, category 1, 2, and 3, development applications. I move the officer's recommendation be accepted.
Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Elliott?
No, Mayor, only that this, the purpose of the report is Council to note the decisions have been made under delegated authority, also the community as well.
Any other questions, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Thank you, unanimously. Item 11.3.2, Councillor Elliott.
Thank you, Mayor. Item 11.3.2, the appeals list current at the 13th of April 2016. We only have 8 there at the moment. We had a slight discussion, small discussion on it yesterday, and I'm happy to recommend the officer's recommendation.
Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Elliott?
No, Mayor, I think it's just for noting, something like that's quite clear.
Any other questions, councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.3.3, I'm going to get the officers to present this. So, Kim, if you'd like to come forward, you can come up the front here if you like. Or sit next to Deb if you like, whichever you feel more comfortable with. I'll be up the front.
Good morning. The application before us is a material change of use for a rooming accommodation at 4 Wardley Street, Capalaba. This is a retrospective development application that resulted from some compliance action that found the use was already occurring on the site. Rooming accommodation is currently an undefined use in our planning scheme, so consequently the development is subject to impact assessment. There were two properly made submissions during the public notification period. The site itself is zoned urban residential. There are no overlays that affect the property, and it has an area of 779 square metres. The dwelling exists on the site, and there are no extensions or additions proposed to the existing structure. The site also has existing car parking for 4 cars and an internal driveway that accesses Wardley Street. The internal layout of the dwelling comprises a communal kitchen and dining area, with 4 rooms that each have a lounge, ensuite, mezzanine bedroom and patio. So the intention with the proposal is for the individual rooms to be rented out with a maximum of 5 people residing at the premises at any one time. While the use is undefined in the current planning scheme, it is similar to that of a community residence in that communal spaces such as the kitchen and dining areas are shared and is assessed against the dwelling house code. So yeah, I guess in summary, the proposal is for a residential use in a residential zone utilising an existing dwelling that has established access to all necessary infrastructure. As I said, no additional built form is proposed and the proposal complies with the dwelling house code and the urban residential zone code in terms of building height, setbacks, site cover and the provision of car parking, private open space and landscaping. Thank you.
Councillors, we had a discussion on this yesterday. I might just ask if Councillor Elliott could bring the motion forward, thank you, and then we can have further questions.
Thanks, Mayor. I'm happy to move the motion.
So I move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. Councillor Elliott, would you like to speak to it?
This looks unusual. I know the layout of the premises, but if you look at it, it's like a 4-bedroom house. And it's got a common kitchen, things like that. The establishment, the building's been there for ages. It's been brought to council's attention. It must be a compliance issue, as I understand. I'm happy to support it. The officers have looked at it, put it against the planning scheme, if I could say that. And admittedly, we're looking at the Brisbane code. but I don't have a problem with it. I don't think the community have a problem. We've actually picked up the 5 car spaces. It could have been, it could have continued on 4. So 4, I saw 5 car spaces, I think, on the plan.
If I may, so they've allowed provision for 4 car parking spaces on site with an additional on street.
Okay, sorry, 4, I'm sorry. Didn't want to mislead the council or the community. 4 car spaces. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's like any rentable property in Redlands, and there's 14,000 of them in Redlands. This one's just been called to account. I think we've got conditions on it, and that's better than none.
Speaker against? Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. As has been pointed out, this has come to us because it's a... it's a compliance issue which has been generated from neighbourhood complaints. This property sits in an urban residential area, a side street in Capalaba, which is all zoned for residential housing. There is no units in the street, and this property has been used, and whether you want to call it being used for a home or whether it's being used for townhouses or whether you want to bring in rooming accommodation, which we don't have in our planning scheme anyway, regardless of the fact, it's being leased individually to 4 different tenants. It is essentially a 4-unit complex, and they're using that using it for that purpose unlawfully. So what's happened is we've got a report that references the Brisbane City Council city plan because they use it. Now, the reason why Brisbane City Council use the term or code rooming accommodation is because they've picked areas around their city close by to universities. So university students can have affordable accommodation close to campus. We don't have that problem here. And Brisbane have picked and chosen where they want to accept those that code, the rooming accommodation code. We, even if we did have it in our planning scheme, you would not put rooming accommodation in the middle of a back street. You would put it somewhere close to a transport hub. This is a housing street with families in it, not units. It's not defined in our planning scheme, so the report refers to the draft planning scheme, which we haven't approved yet. And I've been looking forward to it, the planning scheme coming back, so that I can raise this and somehow try and police it, get rid of it, because I think it's a scourge in our planning scheme. I think it's a terrible outcome. And the community has spoken loud and clear over the last 12 months that they hate small lot housing. I tell you what, if we introduce this into the planning scheme, and mums and dads can just have a 4-bedroom unit block, which is essentially a 4-bedroom unit block built right beside them, it is going to be terrible. You think the community have been loud over the last 12 months over small lot housing? You wait for this one. This will be absolutely terrible. I ask that the councillors reject this application. We fight it. We set the standard. We do not allow an ugly precedent to be set, and that's exactly what will happen. Once we set that precedent, it's going to go right throughout the city. I ask that we reject it, we fight it, and we bring it back to the draft city plan as soon as possible to eliminate it altogether. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Gleeson, thank you. Speaker 4. Speaker 4, Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Look, I absolutely appreciate and respect the passion with which Councillor Gleeson is advocating for residents in his area who may be impacted. I also acknowledge that this is one of the... officers have assessed this against our current planning code, have proposed in the draft planning scheme to give it a designation or a title. But it will not change the outcome. I think we need to acknowledge that it's going to be very difficult for us as councillors to make a decision about what people choose to do in their own home and how they may choose to arrange their own personal living standards or what they may choose to do with an investment property. In this instance, based on the information that's to hand, I can't see planning grounds that we would need in order to refuse this. So the officer's recommendation as it stands is something that I'm going to need to support. But as we discussed yesterday, I think going forward we need to be aware of both the positive and the negative impacts, both real and perceived. And what I mean by that is, on one hand, there are potential impacts for the way Commercial users may choose to use this. There may be different organisations who see an opportunity to allow certain types of members of our community to co-house in these sorts of places. That can create issues, but I think we need to be mindful as a community about how we manage that. And it's a whole of community issue. On the other hand, I think we need to also acknowledge that there are many disruptors going on out there in the world, one of which is things like Airbnb. And at a time when we are looking to diversify our local economy and we have lack of accommodation opportunities, we would not want to remove the opportunity for mums and dads who might be investors or might be wanting to think about their own way of using their property. I think we need to be mindful of these different needs and weigh them up. And I think it will be very difficult for us to strike a balance. And I think these sorts of instances are likely to occur, and don't know that there's actually a quick or easy fix. Acknowledge that when there's a concern, a compliance issue is the best way to go through council. In this instance, I can't see how this can be supported on planning grounds. And if that can be provided, happy to consider that.
Oh, sorry.
Can you ask the question?
Did you just repeat that last line? How it can't
do we have planning grounds?
No, you made a statement. You don't see how it can be or can't be supported.
I don't see how we can refuse the officer's recommendation. Forgive me if that was a...
Yeah.
Sorry, Murray. I would hate to have not confused you when I speak.
I'm sure you said that you couldn't support it.
That's... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't... actually referring to Councillor Gleeson's... So I was in the double negative.
All right, thank you.
So I certainly
support
the officer's recommendation.
Just for the gallery's benefit, just to be really clear in case anyone's thinking about opening up an Airbnb, in fact, that is a different use code. And I'll just get our officer just to explain that. We just don't want people to think that they've got free-for-all by the fact that Airbnb is one of those disruption technologies which allows people to move into residential streets. That is a different use code, and if we catch you doing it, I'm sure someone will be sent out to have a chat to you. But Kim, would you just clarify that for people in the gallery?
Sure. So this proposal is for rooming accommodation. A B&B would be classified as a home business, so there is a use code that exists for that under the current planning scheme, and that would be assessed against that code.
Just to be clear. Now, we had a speaker against. Speaker 4, Councillor Gollo.
I'm actually against, Madam Mayor.
I've got 4, so 4 against 4, pardon me. Sorry?
I'm against.
Against, pardon me.
Thanks, Madam Mayor, through you. Whilst I respect my learned colleague, Councillor Bishop's position, I have to support Councillor Gleeson on this, primarily because I think it opens up a dangerous precedent. If I could harshly use the words of slumlords, this particular design, from what I've seen, is going to be tenanted under individual rental lease agreements. I think it's just going to open up the floodgates across the city for every man and his dog to just go, well, I'm just going to build individual units out of my own home and rent them out as I see fit. I don't think we need this style of development in the area. And to support Councillor Gleeson's statement in relation to the community's non-appreciation of small lot development, I think this is taking small lot development to an extreme, and we just don't need it. I'm actually quite happy to test this through legal channels to see what a magistrate would say in relation to the fact that it's our planning code, not Brisbane City's planning code that we're operating under.
Okay, so Speaker 4. Councillor Boglari?
Just asking if the through you, Madam Mayor, if the officers can actually clarify what happens if we don't approve this, of the understanding. I don't think anyone actually likes it. We all hear that the community is having issues already. But when something is in the planning scheme, this is the strength of the planning scheme, unfortunately. So can the officer please explain if we were to refuse it, what the likely outcome there would be, ending up in court? And I think yesterday it was mentioned that we might end up with actually less conditions. Can we just have that clarity? Oh, sorry, wrong officer. Thank you, David.
So there are a number of outcomes, I suppose, if council decides to refuse. The applicant may do nothing. The applicant may appeal the decision. So those proceedings would start. There would be mediation. So it might get to a point where it's resolved during mediation before going to trial, or it may go all the way to trial. I guess I can't say with any certainty what the outcome might be should that be the council's decision today.
Does that answer your question, Councillor Boglory?
Well, then we're sort of saying that during mediation we might get a better outcome, I'm hearing then.
Sorry, I missed that point in your question. I guess what we did discuss yesterday was today you have the application before you with the officer's recommendation to approve with a development permit subject to conditions. Should you refuse and the applicant does proceed down the appeal path, then we do lose, I guess, some of that decision-making power in that the decision won't be made by us, it will be made by the courts. So I guess you need to consider what conditions may or may not be imposed on a development that does proceed to trial.
There was a question. Speaker 4, Councillor Edwards. Sorry, and then...
I've got no doubt in my mind that there's probably many of these dwellings around the city that have already been reconfigured like this, whether it's come through council or not. This existing house, as Councillor Elliott said, you drive past it and you can't tell any difference between whether it's divided up the way, configured the way it is proposed to or not. I don't really know whether it's a big an issue that some of the councils might think it's going to be, but it probably brings to my mind that we need to look at these types of developments and think what conditions we should have as a policy moving forward. And I'm glad that this one's actually come before us so that we can actually see it, because I'm sure there'll be lots and lots of them out there that haven't come before us. They're already out there. They haven't really been an issue until now. So unless we've got some good planning grounds against this, I don't think that I can vote against the officer's recommendation, but I think we need to review what we're going to do in the future when these come before us.
Councillor Tolte, did you have a comment? Or I wasn't sure. Question?
Kim said among the possibilities, if this were not approved, the applicant may do nothing. Now, as it's come out of a compliance issue, were we to refuse it and the... from what I can understand, the application is raised out of a requirement for the compliance. They've done what's been required of them. They've applied, but if they haven't achieved a approval, then what will council's action be as far as the compliance matter moving forward?
Good morning, councillors. If council refuses the application and the applicant doesn't choose to appeal that decision, that would bring the application matter to a close. The use would still be unlawful. The applicant would have to cease the unlawful use and return it to a lawful use, which would be a dwelling house. If they didn't return it to a lawful use, being the dwelling house, council could then take further compliance action.
So we're going to court either way. Is that the basic outcome?
Councillor Hewlett, I think I'm about to speak against.
I tend to agree with Councillor, through you, Madam Mayor, sorry. I tend to agree with Councillor Gleeson. If I was to build a house down there and put four units in it, I'd be up for $80,000 in infrastructure charges. This guy's getting away with it scot-free. It's got social issues attached to it. There's no provisions in the planning scheme for it. And to me, it highlights how subjective our planning scheme is. It's been described as an unlawful use, and here we are with a recommendation to approve it. I totally agree with Councillor Gleeson. I'm glad he's brought this to our attention. Thanks, Paul.
Any further discussions, councillors? You've already had a go, councillor. I think a couple of the items that issues that have been raised are really important ones. We acknowledge that there's a gap in our current planning about this, and therefore we need to address this in the draft city plan. I'm just going to caution councillors. Some of the comments I hear in regards to their personal views of housing types, there are people that are living in these dwellings. And they're living there because there's been a demand for it, whether you like that or not. And I'll refer you back to the documents that have fed into our planning scheme, which is our housing strategy, which refers to these very things, and that was adopted by a council in between 2008 and 2012, if I recall correctly. So I'm going just to remind new councillors and old councillors alike that when you sit and study and read those documents and you make decisions on strategies, that is where you determine the outcomes that we are talking about today. Do not deny the fact there are people in this city who are needy people and needing to live in this city for various reasons. And I just like to counsel you about how you approach what you call the places that they live in, because they're there for a reason. And you know, whether or not this gets up or not, it probably will go through a court process, and it will be something that ratepayers will fund to test the validity, and also perhaps whether this is going to be the future type of housing choice in our city. We acknowledge that it's new, so is Airbnb, so is Uber, and as I've said before, these are the changes that we cannot stick our head in the ground about. We have to turn them into opportunities and make sure we plan for it in a way that we don't have unlawful uses that we're discussing around these chambers. So really the best place to address that is in your planning scheme and through regional planning and local planning. But please don't deny people that have a need to live in this city and their housing choice along the way. And that's a big discussion that we've been having over a number of years, and it obviously came to fruition over the election. And in this particular instance, the officers have given their professional advice. With that, I think it's fair to say that what's incumbent on you as councillors and all of us as councillors is that we address it properly, with consideration for all people in our draft planning scheme. And that would be the right place to do it, and that would be the place to spend the money in getting the right outcomes that you're all talking about. I'm going to hand back to Councillor Elliott to sum up.
What she said. Exactly. No, I can't do any better than that. I concur with that, and I think put it to the vote. Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Elliott. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Okay. Sorry? Yeah, it's motion is lost. Those in favour? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Williams. Those against, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Golay, Councillor Bolgari. As I said, that motion was lost. Moving on, councillors. Councillors, yes. Councillors, I'll just, for those of you who came in here to refuse this item, as you have, those of you who have been councillors for a while, you actually need planning grounds. So I'll just take some advice from Nick as to how I can bring that forward.
Madam Mayor, you're quite right. This, for those in the public gallery, this is the Local Government Regulation, Section 273, which under these circumstances and a few others requires the CEO to record in the minutes the reasons for not, excuse me, for not adopting the recommendation of the officers. I'm not sure if any of the councillors that voted against this have those reasons documented to table right now, but my recommendation would be either through a recess or on the fly for those reasons to be presented to the CEO at this meeting. One of the main reasons for that, Madam Mayor, is that if this matter does proceed to appeal, I'm sure that the trial judge will want to know what grounds were given to refuse the officer's recommendation at the time that decision was made, and not subsequently, so that the trial judge can be satisfied that the refusal, which has led to an appeal, assuming that the applicant goes to appeal, was made on some justifiable planning grounds.
Councillors, I might ask that we move a motion to take a short recess. Councillor Elliott, you've got a question?
I'll just say we can't, I know it's not an item, but we can't let that lie on the table and continue with the agenda. because it's going to be a while.
Well, it's really important, councillors, for you councillors who have not supported the motion, is that this will be what is taken to court as your grounds, so they need to be robust planning grounds. So I'll take advice from councillors if they prefer to go away and, or not go away, but have a chat or work out some planning grounds and we'll come back to it, but really should have been dealt with within the motion. I don't... They need to be robust planning grounds, councillor, so...
Councillors, what I would recommend is we do take a small recess and that Councillor Gleeson in particular has a discussion with our planning experts. I'm no planning expert, but I don't think this will be sufficient grounds. So I think you need to get some advice, which is again why these papers are sent out early, for you guys to seek that advice. So my recommendation, Madam Mayor, is that we have a short recess where those councillors can talk to the planning to see whether there are any grounds that they can put together.
Councillors, your indulgence. 5 minutes recess. 20. 20 minutes. 15 minutes, councillors. Can I just have a motion, please, that we move into a recess for 15 minutes? Moved, Councillor Tolte. Seconded, Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Thank you. We'll see you back here at 11:30. Elliot, those in favour? Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. With Councillor Bishop absent. Councillor Gleeson, I believe you have some reasons for refusal, which will be noted in the minutes.
They're up on the board.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Liz has just put that up there for us. So the grounds for refusal are recorded as: the proposal is in conflict with the Urban Residential Zone Code because it is out of character in this location and would give rise to unacceptable amenity impacts. And number two, the use is not anticipated by the current planning scheme and is in conflict with the overall outcomes of the Urban Residential Zone Code.
Through you to, General Manager for Organisational Services, it's sufficient for us to add those notes to the minutes.
I believe it is, Madam Mayor. It may be useful, although there's no procedure provided for, but I think there were six councillors that voted against the officer's recommendation. Through show of hands, it might be worth just clarifying that all six
support
are
that.
Supportive of the grounds that are stated.
No, the motion's been put. That's why we have meetings, Councillor, to discuss this in advance so that you can get your... No, you've got to have your motion on the table before you do that, Councillor. Yes. Got to be an alternative prior to it being put. So those six councillors who voted for a refusal, could you please just indicate your support of those? Okay. Thank you. Moving on, councillors. The next item is a mayoral minute, which has been distributed to you councillors in regards to nomination to represent District Number 2, Southern Region, on the Policy Executive of Local Government Association of Queensland from the period of 30th of June 2016 to mid-June 2020. We discussed this, councillors, so I put that motion to you. I don't know, is there any questions? It's really just a straightforward nomination at this point in time. I'll just put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Moving on, I think our next item... we have a notice of motion, which is actually, urgent business, which is a confidential urgent item of business. But councillors, we discussed this yesterday. So if I could, with your indulgence, just that we have a mover and seconder that we move into closed session. Move Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. And for those members of the public that waited around 15 minutes for the show to continue, I do apologise, but I'll have to ask you very politely to leave the chambers so we can discuss this item. All those motions. So we have Councillor Edwards' urgent business. Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Hewlett. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. In negative is Councillor Bishop in the negative. Item number 16.1.1, the Victoria Point Library Lease Review. Move for that motion, please. Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Hewlett. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 16.2.1, the priority development area extension to Wynnum Creek. Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Tolte. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. With that, there is no further business, council. I close the meeting at 12:09.